What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, managing editor of Fightful.com, FightfulSelect.com. It's the Weekender show where we review everything non-WWE. There's a bunch of New Japan that I have not caught up on. I will be watching the Destruction shows, but this weekend, you know, we got so much going on between New Japan, UFC, boxing, WWE Hell in a Cell, and then I got stuck with a bunch of other duties, so been a little bit behind. Of course, if you all want the Mae Young Classic 205 Live NXT stuff, then Mr. Warren Hayes is the guy to go see. He does an outstanding review of these shows. And believe me, I would not put him on this service or on any Fightful service if I did not think he was qualified. He is the only person, he and James Lynch, and Showdown Joe, that I have given other given podcasts to that aren't me in some capacity. So I believe in his work very much. We got a lot to talk about. Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, Impact. I would like to start reviewing MLW on this show. Depends on the demand, but I like their roster a lot. I like their the way that they do things a lot, and I'd really like to watch War Games, so maybe I'll be able to start doing that. I don't want to commit to something that I'm not sure if I'll be able to have the time to do, but at this time, I think it's more relevant than what you see on Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground airs stuff 5-6 months after it appears. Drinking a Pepsi, not a Diet Pepsi today. Treating myself after hitting some fitness goals. Might as well undo them, but let's go ahead and talk about this. We're going to get into that. I'll talk about the weekly. I'll update the Fightful injury report. Also, we've got some spoilers out of Mexico for Impact Wrestling, so we have that as well. Lots to get into. I will talk a little bit about what I've seen of MLW, so there's that as well. Tama Tonga has spoken out on the Bullet Club Civil War after he's recruited Neville. Of course, you can get all this news at Fightful.com, but let's go ahead and get into some of these by God results. Lucha Underground, there's no reason at this point, you all hear me talk about Eva Lise on a pretty consistent basis, that if Tessa Blanchard gets calls from Impact, Eva Lise should at this point. There are rumors that she's problematic, that she might be a little tough to deal with, but to me, I don't see that as an issue that should keep somebody like this, who is this talented, away from making good art, which I think pro wrestling is an art. However, if she is consistently problematic, then yeah, I could see that. But I don't know that that's been the case of late. I've not heard any stories, at least. It's been a year or two since I've heard anything like that. She has a great tornado DDT and a running Canadian destroyer, but I think her slaps could look better in this match against Dragon Azteca. Dragon Azteca gives her an awful lot of offense in this match and finishes her off with a flying leg drop that really looks like shit, to be honest with you. But it won the match. So Eva Lise, kind of directionless right now, but looked good in defeat. And that'll be the theme of all three shows we reviewed this week. Ring of Honor, Impact, and Lucha Underground all have wrestlers that had really great efforts in losing. But afterwards, Exolicious and Joey Ryan come out and pitch a trio with her. Now, later on, we'll see Austin Aries, Killer Cross, and Moose call themselves the threesome and get ridiculed for it. If these three called themselves the threesome, it would make a lot more sense. You have Eva Lise, who is known as the baddest bitch in the room. You have Joey Ryan, who's famous for his dick. You have Exolicious, who's a gay guy, and you call them that? That would be funny. That would be cute. Go ahead and do that. Call them the threesome. I am down for these three as a trio as well. That would be outstanding. King Cuerno is in the ring. And Antonio Cueto, which I friggin' hate that gimmick. Man, do I hate that gimmick. He comes out and says that he's going to bring somebody out for a number one contender match. And it's Mil Muertes, who, you know, ran. He was the slut that ran the hut in Lucha Underground for the first season until Matanza showed up. So it's amazing that Muertes at 43 gets around the way that he does after the career he's had. And it's even wilder to think that that's Judas Macias. Like, that's the guy that I would rather have watched anybody but what he was doing in TNA wrestling, like, what, 10, 11 years ago? Because it sucked. The stuff with Abyss sucked. They have some good hard-hitting action. The ref tries to step in, and both of the guys throw him around. And then Marty Elias, I think it is, throws out the match. Antonio Cueto shows up and says that he doesn't punish violence. He rewards it. And both men are given a title match next week. I really like this. So you have Daga, Cobra, and Jeremiah Snake, the Serpents, taking on Rey Fénix, a dark version of him, and Aerostar, and it's a trios match. Now, Daga is dating Tessa Blanchard right now, by the way. For all the people saying, oh, why isn't Tessa in WWE? Her boyfriend's there. No, he's not. They split up a long time ago. There was an incident at the Performance Center, actually, but she's dating Daga now. Drago has some great offense, and he's another guy that I can't believe he's as old as he is. He's using his serpents against one another. I think that Fénix and Aerostar's rolling cutters that they do is so much better than Jay Lethal's lethal injection. Fénix goes wild with kicks, but Cobra Moon avoids it. Fénix gets really aggressive on his tag to Aerostar and just slaps Aerostar on the chest, then dips out. And speaking of Aerostar, he's a guy I expect to get calls from the Impacts, MLWs, and WWEs for full-time contracts down the line. He goes for a dive, and Fénix cracks him with one of the craziest goddamn super kicks I've ever seen that Aerostar takes perfectly. This is one of those rare instances where the sound effect that Lucha Underground puts in actually adds to the match, because Fénix hitting that super kick was great. Cheers. So then Fénix does a fire driver, which is an electric chair turned into a Samoan driver sit out, essentially, a Michinoku driver sit out. It is outstanding. I love this move, and it makes me want to have Carlos Toro, the next time we get a round of interviews with these guys, reach out and maybe do a making a finisher on this as well. I mean, that was fantastic. It's just unbelievable. You gotta go watch this. Gotta go watch this. At least those two spots, the super kick and the fire driver. Really, really great stuff. The Snakes pick up the win because Jeremiah Snake runs in and hits his finish. Fénix pushes Melissa Santos afterwards, so it seems like he's going heel, and they put that over. They're like, he is like the biggest baby face in this hood, and now he's got this edge to him. What is up with this? How will this play out? And I'm ready to see that, because on Impact and on MLW, when I get to watch him in Lucha Underground up till this point, he's been a babyface, and he's been a really, really big babyface for a long time, and I think he's been the best thing about Lucha Underground for a while. I thought Pentagon was in season one, but I think Fénix has been ever since. This is a very, very good episode of Lucha Underground. I would recommend that you go out of your way to check it out. The matches were all good. The developments were really good. I like that. And that's something that I think has been lacking, are some of the storyline developments in Lucha Underground. They haven't been without the good in-ring work. But however, you have to develop stories as well. My friend Nadia just passed along the top 10 viewed YouTube videos on WWE for this week. I'll run through those since I got them. Number 10, Brie Bella versus Maryse, 1.2 million. Hardy versus Nakamura, 1.3. Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins consider pressing charges on Corbin, that's 1.6. Rousey and Natalya versus Mickie James and Alexa, that's 1.9. The Shield forced to leave, that's also at 1.9. An old match between Undertaker and Triple H, 2.3 million. One between Kane and Undertaker, 2.4. That's a Hell in a Cell retrospective. Braun Strowman rising from the wreckage, 2.9 million. That should show you what kind of a draw he is. Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman battling, that's 3.5. And then the Shield strike back at their attackers, 3.8. Those last three in particular, we're talking about Braun getting into the 3 million territory and the Shield being in the 3 million territory three times on Raw. Those are amazing numbers. Amazing numbers. If I get those before this show every week, I will update you all on those too. I like to kind of do things maybe a little bit different. So no other shows are doing that. Ring of Honor, Kazarian versus Mark Briscoe. Briscoe delivered his froggy elbow but got crucifix pinned. This is fine. It was a little shorter than I expected too, but they had a big long match that they had to fit in on this show. But this is more about storyline development than it was about the match, because the Briscoes and SCU have been battling for a while and they had that great match at All In. But this was to get Punishment Martinez involved in the match. SCU runs in, beats up Briscoe, and Punishment Martinez, who I think is supposed to be the heel, runs in and evens up the odds. And I'm like, man, I don't blame him. If that's supposed to be a heel move, I don't feel it. He does a South of Heaven choke slam. You can see our making a finisher on that in the Fightful Select archives. But man, this is going to be one hell of a six-man match, because I love Punishment Martinez, man. He is one of my favorites in the world to watch at this point. So the dogs attack Cheeseburger. Burger spits in Ferrara's face, eats a strike. They're trying to make the dog seem like a real threat, but I mean, at least they're doing it at the expense of Cheeseburger and a newbie. It's hard for me to get into that, man. You know, I really, really like Rhett Titus as a person. I have talked to fewer dudes just so nice, as kind as him, and he's just such a friendly guy, and he is a versatile guy. And the thing is, Rhett Titus told me personally, I know my role in the company. It's not to be the world champion. It's to fill whatever role they need for me to fill. As a result, Rhett Titus has been in Ring of Honor since 2006. I think it's the Briscoes and him. Maybe another guy. I don't know. 2006. That's a hell of a run. I mean, he didn't have a day job. He works for Ring of Honor. That's it. These guys don't have to go and like shovel snow out of driveways on the weekend or on the weekdays to make ends meet. He does this. And what has he done? Well, he worked as a lower card guy. He's worked as Romantic Touch. He's worked as a tag team wrestler, a serious tag team wrestler. He's worked as a serious stable member. He's worked as a comical tag team wrestler. I mean, that's what he does. He's a former tag. I mean, he was a part of one of the greatest tag team divisions, I think, ever. The Ring of Honor tag team division that had All Night Express, the Briscoes, the World's Greatest Tag Team, and Kings of Wrestling. Oh boy, that's one of the greatest four pieces of tag teams I've ever seen. It's just hard for me when they like put over the dogs, they pretend they come out drunk sometimes and on commentary, and then to take them seriously here. That's asking a little bit of me. Not asking a little bit of me to get invested in Jonathan Gresham versus Jay Lethal in an Iron Man match. I didn't even realize it was an Iron Man match until I just watched it. Part of me thinks this should have been the whole hour, but crowd was quiet. Quiet early, man, so I'm glad it wasn't. This is the part of the week where I put over Jonathan Gresham as one of the best workers in the world. Not just North America at this point, in the world. I think they have something very, very special in Jonathan Gresham. I'm going to compare him to Leo Rush and Ricochet for completely different reasons. Ricochet can do things physically that most people can't. However, he's 5'9", 195 pounds. In the old days, that's a tiny wrestler, right? When X-Pac was billed at 210, he's like 6'1". I want to compare. So I kind of I've taken him out of that comparison. Leo Rush is 5'6" and billed at 160, which means he's probably 150. Rey Mysterio was about 5'4", 5'5", 135 to 155, depending on the year. And he was special, and he competed with heavyweights because he was this little dude. You had Taz as well. Look at Taz. He was billed at 5'9", so he's probably 5'7". And he was a stocky 230, 240-pound guy. But he didn't look like everybody else. He wasn't built like everybody else, and he didn't wrestle like anybody else. So what did Taz do? He was smaller than all these guys, so his hips were underneath these guys already. He became the human suplex machine. He could just snag a suplex, throw you immediately, boom, you're done. Jonathan Gresham has that from a wrestling perspective, and he's only 30 years old. He's 5'4", maybe 5'3". He's been wrestling for 13 years. He is extremely polished. He is so good. He is one of the smoothest wrestlers in the world right now. And I really think to a lesser degree or maybe to a different degree, he can be like a Leo Rush. He can be like a Taz. He can be like a Rey Mysterio, who use their size disadvantage to their advantage. So maybe it's not really a size disadvantage. Their size difference to their advantage. Where a lot of people would look at that as a hurdle, I think Jonathan Gresham is talented enough, as we see every single time that he wrestles in Ring of Honor, that he can do that. Because, man, every time I watch him wrestle, it's something special. And Jay Lethal clearly knows that. Look at this match they had. And he gave Jonathan Gresham, it seemed like he got like 28 minutes of offense in this 35-minute match. Some outstanding chain wrestling starts, but the crowd is quiet. Gresham has this beautiful stockade on Lethal, and then he like kind of claps his hand, and the commentators are like, hey, maybe don't do this in the middle of a Ring of Honor World Championship match. And I thought that was a good sense of urgency from Ian Riccaboni. Like, hey, man, you're getting this opportunity. Don't waste it. Gresham lays back on the stockade. Now, the stockade is where you have somebody's arms behind their back and essentially a pin through there. Not a pinfall, but like say you insert a pin and it holds like hinges together. I mean, it's not called a hinge, but it could be called a hinge. And then he lays back on it and it kind of snaps the joints. It's really, really good. 20 minutes in, there haven't been any pins, but there is a chop war. Gresham hits this beautiful springboard moonsault. And there's a couple of Germans with varying velocity. You had a really slow deadlift German. Then you had a snap German that was also very good. There was a Lethal injection attempt that Jonathan Gresham just followed and punted Lethal right in the face with. That was a really, really great spot. Then he went right into a tilt-a-whirl facebuster, and we have about 3 minutes left, and Lethal taps the Gary Goodridge elbows, or at least we'll call them that. These were standing. Goodridge's were on the ground. But taps to those with 3 minutes, and Gresham's like, oh, man, I am 3 minutes away. 3 minutes away from winning the world title. And this is one of the best ends to an Iron Man match I've ever seen. He's up 1-0, he being Gresham, with 3 minutes left. And if he loses in that time, it kind of makes him look like he choked. But they didn't. They had Lethal lock on a figure four and tease a pin, and then he kicked Gresham in the face when he kicked out. That was such a cool, smart spot. There are spots like that that I'm not even sure Jay Lethal knows that he does that are just way smarter than everybody, because I'm pretty sure it's second nature to Jay Lethal at this point. Like, when he does something like that, he's just like, yeah, that's what I do. But then when you compare it to the work of so many other people, you're like, man, that was such a smart wrestling spot. And there were so many spots in this Jay Lethal, Jonathan Gresham match that I looked and I was like, man, I learned a lot from that as somebody who likes to study wrestling. I was like, man, I learned so much watching this match and just seeing what they do. Little things that most people don't do in spots like this, they just did. And it wouldn't surprise me if I find out they didn't even discuss that, but it would also not surprise me if they were like, yeah, let's do this, because that's a hell of a spot, because they're just on another level from a from a psychological standpoint, you know, I don't like the lethal injection. I don't like the flip with it. I think that Jay Lethal could make it better doing literally doing the RKO out of nowhere, but doing it better. I think he's talented enough to do that. But otherwise, from a psychology standpoint, it's just special stuff. It ends in a draw, and they agree on 5 more minutes. They are granted. Lethal eventually hits lethal injection, gets the win. I miss time limit draws. I do. I think they should do that more. An outstanding match. Gresham and Lethal were a treat to watch. Impact Wrestling. Aries, Moose, and Killer Cross are out on in like a with a living room lounge set. Kind of weird, but they call themselves a threesome and get trolled. KM and Falaba interrupt, and Austin Aries' reaction to their music hitting was great. He goes, "What? Who is this? Whose music is that?" And then he goes, "What? Really?" I thought that was kind of funny. They offer Falaba a title shot, and this whole show was building up Falaba as this underdog and hyping him up, and I thought it was really good. They did a good job because Falaba is so easy to like. You know, he's an overweight guy, and I hope he gets in better shape for his sake. I really do, because he can stand to get rid of about 50 to 75 pounds for his health. But they use that as him, even though he's so much bigger than Aries, they build him as the underdog so well. Scarlett shows up, and I think she's become a really good addition to Impact Wrestling. She shows up and kind of motivates Bond, says the only thing I like more than a strong man is a strong man with a title belt. They seek out Eli for advice. I do love that the babyfaces interact with the heels here, even if the heels act like dicks like Eli did. He said he's only worried about beating up the Tontos in Mexico next year or next week. I don't know. But either way, the way that he says it is at least full of charisma. Rich Swann pumps up Falaba backstage. They had a great walkout with a lot of support. However, Impact needs to shit can the BTE ripoff gimmick where they've got the hands in the screen as the authority figures. Get rid of that shit, man. It is a blatant ripoff. A blatant ripoff. And to me, that's like how they tried to shoehorn in all the Donald Trump shit last year. I'm like, man, that's they were dividing their audience with that. Like Sienna in the middle of interviews going, fake news and make wrestling great again and all this shit. I'm like, man, why would you all go that route? Like, Donald Trump's not giving you the time of day. So don't sack or compromise a portion of your audience for that. For this, I'm like, you want to get the people that watch BTE. And the way to do that is not ripping off BTE. The way to do that is doing your own creative shit. That's what the people that watch Being the Elite, I would imagine, are attracted to. Because if they tune in like I do and they see that, they're probably going to go, well, what the hell, man? Why would they rip that off? I thought that was pretty lame. Falaba hits a good belly-to-belly suplex but gets caught in a last chantry when rolling over onto him. Ba hits a Sparta kick. That was great. Aries got airborne, and Ba just kicked him. And Ba followed up immediately with a nice body press. A sunset flip powerbomb in the last chantry wins it for Aries. This was good. And again, Ba looked really good in defeat, and Aries was a perfect opponent for him. This was really good. The trio beat up Falaba and KM. I'm not a big fan of Moose's flip spear. He's so athletic, he could do something else. I was also impressed with Congo Kong. There have been some matches, like Congo Kong, when I watched him earlier this year, I was like, okay, that's why he's not on Redemption, man. He was so slow and plodding and just wasn't good. And Cage was perfect in this role, and so was Kong. They had to make Cage look like a babyface, and it's hard to make him look like a babyface when he's beating the shit out of people half his size, and it's very obvious that Cage is a physical advantage, you know what I'm saying, on these guys. But they did it. There's a big sit-down powerbomb from Cage who does win, and he accepts Callahan's challenge of OVE versus Cage, Phoenix, and Pentagon. I don't like the lack of an X Division title match at Bound for Glory. So I would have them, if they, I don't know, I haven't checked the spoilers yet. I'm about to read the Mexico spoilers off. I would have him lose that title before then. Have OVE cost him that title and make him more mad, and then defend that title. The Fraternity against LAX. The Fraternity do a move called the Eiffel Tower, which I thought was pretty funny. And a nice electric chair drop to a kick. But Decker takes way too long to set up the spot on the ramp. And it just didn't. It was an okay match. But LAX win, and that's good. King comes out, and he says that he regrets that little Richie is still alive. And he's trying to encourage, or he's trying to goad Conan into breaking the ceasefire. Allie seems like such a whiny goddamn babyface, man. Her promos are middle school shit. I do not, like, man, she's so much better than this. Write some better shit for her, guys, or a better storyline. Joe Hendry comes out, and Katarina is facing Alicia Edwards. And Alicia Edwards has been getting beat a lot lately, to the point to where it's like anytime she's out there, I know that she's going to lose. So I thought this was a clever way to get her a win and to put Katarina in the ring. And utilize a couple of women who are mainly supporting characters. Hendry comes out and makes fun of Katarina with a Access Denied music video and references what she did with her pirate brother. That was clever. Impact was a good watch this week as well. Being the Elite, I actually didn't cover this last week. We had so much to cover last week. But it was backstage at All In. It was them preparing for All In. And that's really what it was, 47 minutes, and it was them at StarCast and singing karaoke. They didn't go heavy on the skits, and that's understandable because this is the payoff. This was essentially All In, and this episode of Being the Elite were the pay-per-view versions of Being the Elite. And there was no Being the Elite this week, so I'm glad I got to catch up. But we did see Joey Ryan, who I will talk about more later. He actually wasn't dead. He was left for dead. And was resurrected. Stephen Amell, who plays Arrow, was backstage, and Shane Helms showed up, Hurricane. I sent Shane a text message a couple weeks ago, and I've mentioned this on the air. People who are my friends, I don't ask for scoops, and Shane is a guy I consider a friend, and I am impressed with what he's been able to do this past year, especially. And I don't want to say I'm proud of him, because who the fuck am I to be proud of Shane Helms? Shane Helms was super famous and a top merch seller 15 years before we ever knew each other. But the guy's 44 right now. And 10 years ago, I don't know that he would have had the opportunities at 44 that he does now, or 20 years ago. But he really grabs life and wrestling by the balls, man. And he is, like, he's been able to do so much. That match that he had with Skrull was so good. He's been in Era Lucha. He's been Ring of Honor. He was in the Royal Rumble this year. Man, it makes me so happy to see good things happening to a guy like Shane, who had a raw deal in TNA wrestling, man. Like, he and Jeff Jarrett have everything figured out now. But the shrapnel heat that he got as a result of him being buddies with the Hardys was inexcusable, because he was beloved backstage as an agent. So it was good to see him on All In as well. But that's what this was, essentially. It was an All In retrospect. And that's good. They needed that. We also see Kenny Omega in Cody's locker room. And he apologizes to somebody, and it ends up being Pharaoh. And he makes good with Brandy, and then Flip Gordon emerges out of the bathroom and gets kicked out by Cody Rhodes. I'm really excited for the next episode of Being the Elite. I missed it this week. I really did. Impact Wrestling spoilers. You can find these at FightfulWrestling.com. Armis, Dragon Bane, Starfire defeated Ares Latigo and Chick Tormenta. Freelance, Iron Kid, Astrolux defeated Belial, Impulso, and Fly Metalik. Those are for Explosion. Impact, Petey Williams defeated Jack Evans, Trevor Lee, and Puma King. Boy, am I glad to see Jack Evans' name on that list. He's the reason I found Ring of Honor in 2004, 2005. I think it was 2005. Kings and the OGs beat up a local wrestler and call out LAX, but they don't appear. Fabi Apache defeats Alicia Edwards and challenges Tessa Blanchard. Again, Alicia loses, but I mean, it's the right call. She's got her job because of her husband. OVE versus Cage. Phoenix and Pentagon went to a no contest. So, I mean, I guess maybe it wasn't for Bound for Glory. I guess it's for this taping, so I hope so. Sorry if I messed that up. Aries defeated Tejano in a title match. Johnny Impact and Eddie Edwards brawl with Aries, Cross, and Moose. LAX defeated the Desi Hit Squad. After the match, King and OGs burn a Conan mask. Allie and Kiara Hogan defeated Sue Young and the Undead Maid of Honor. La Parca defeated Eli Drake. I can't wait to see that match. Ooh, and there's more tapings tonight. The Lucha Brothers defeated, which is Phoenix and Pentagon, defeated Seidel and Rich Swann. OVE try to attack, but Cage comes out to stop them. Moose and Killer Cross defeated Edwards and Johnny Impact. That'll probably get turned into a triple threat. Excited to see how these spoilers go for tonight as well. That should be fun. Additional results. Let me pull these up. Destruction results, because I haven't covered a lot of these this week. Oh, gosh, there's MediaCon results, too. My apologies. There's a lot of results to go over right now, Ewens. Let's go ahead and get into it. New Japan, Road to Destruction, Night 2. I'll go over the matches quickly. Owens and Takahashi defeat Narita and Yumino. Ishimori, Loa, Tonga, and Fale defeated Yoshida, Finley, Elgin, and Robinson. Beretta defeated Hanare, Goto, and Ghetto over Michinoku and Taichi. LIJ over Suzuki-Gun. Chaos defeated Hanma, Makabe, and Tanahashi. The Golden Lovers defeated Osprey and Ishii. That was Night 2. The September 8th results, Owens over Yoshida, Yunimura and Yunimo over Narita and Tsuji, Bullet Club over Makabe, Finley, Elgin, and Hanare, Goto and Yoshihashi over Taichi and Kanemaru, Naito, Evil, Sanada, and Bushi over Suzuki-Gun, Chaos over the Bullet Club combo of Omega, Ibushi, and Takahashi, Tanahashi and Juice over Okada and Beretta. For September 9th, you had Tsuji and Yumara go to a draw. Bullet Club over Elgin, Yumino, Narita, and Yoshida. Taichi and Esperado over Goto and Ghetto. LIJ beat Kanemaru or beat Suzuki Gun. Chaos's Okada and Yoshihashi defeat Tanahashi and Hanare. Chaos over a Bullet Club led by Omega and Ibushi. You have Kojima, Nakanishi, Tenzan, and Nagata defeating Juice Robinson, Finley, Hanma, and Makabe. You all can check out the rest of the results, FightfulWrestling.com, because it is a lot of tag matches that I don't feel like going through. Not that I don't feel like going through, it's just, my God, it's redundant. Rich Swann defeated Matt Seidel and Trevor Lee at the Impact MediaCon show. Robbie X and Adam Maxted defeated Lucas Steele and McCluskey. Sue Young over Austin. LAX defend their titles against Johnny Storm and Jody Fleisch to retain. Hendry over Eli Drake. He's been losing a lot, Eli Drake has, for a guy who just re-signed. Edwards and Seesum defeated Moose and Nathan Cruz. And then a barbed wire death match, Callahan defeated Havoc. We also have Evolve results. Shane Strickland successfully defended his title over Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. Doom Patrol retained their titles over the Skulk. And then that, for some reason, it's a dark match. They put Velveteen Dream defeated Darby Allin by DQ when Austin Theory interfered. Why don't you just put that on TV? WWE let him. Tama Tonga tried to recruit Neville into the Bullet Club. Says that it's theirs and they're fighting for it. They're expanding and enlisting, looking for talent. I like it. I really like it. I mean, lots of stuff, man, going on with Bullet Club, and hopefully they stay hot. But right now, nobody talks about Bullet Club. They talk maybe a little bit about Firing Squad, but maybe not as affectionately as they had prior. Fightful injury report. Big Show cleared to return after his hip surgery. He appeared in his gear on Raw. Maria Kanellis, maternity leave. She gave birth in April. Samir Singh is nearing a return. He's sidelined until at least the end of the month from in-ring action with a torn ACL. Fandango tours left labrum early in July. Goldust had knee surgery in July. They're both out until next year. Sami Zayn, double shoulder surgery in June, targeting WrestleMania season. Nia Jax has been out of action since July, rehabbing an undisclosed injury. Tamina out of action following a shoulder surgery. She's expected back in the fall if she returns. Kane injured his Achilles, sidelined indefinitely as he pursues his political career. Bobby Fish tours ACL and MCL in March. He wants to be back by the end of the year. Aleister Black required surgery in late July. He's out for at least for the time being. EC3 still has not returned from his concussion a month ago. Tapings are next week, so we might see him back if he's good to go. Eric Bugenhagen has a concussion, is not back. But he's not on TV. Sabatelli and Moss. Sabatelli tore his pec in April. Moss tore his Achilles in mid-April. Both expected to return in 2019. Tony Storm had a back injury in mid-August that caused her to be pulled from a couple of dates. And just pretty much they didn't want to risk it, but she's not returned yet. But she'll be back very soon. Sanjay Dutt torn his right Achilles tendon, return unknown. Same with Rosemary, although Allie says that she is doing well and wants to get back soon. But she had a knee injury in February and kept working for a couple months, or at least put it off for a couple months. Shotzi Blackheart broke her ankle on July 6th. No return table there, a return timetable. Shibata, subdural hematoma, in-ring return unlikely. Omega is still working with a fractured heel, I believe. Hikuleo tore his ACL March 3rd, likely out to the end of the year. Takahashi landed on his neck and was hospitalized July 7th. Will not require surgery, still hospitalized. So, I mean, there's quite a few guys that are still sidelined. You had Will Ospreay, who was actually pulled from some all-in weekend shows because he was dealing with some injuries, but he is back in action now, and my God, he's worked, I think, 6 matches since then. Fightful Wrestling Weekly reminder, our buddies over at Pro Wrestling Unlimited do cover this. Andrade Cien Almas. I published a report this week. I've gotten some additional sources backstage in WWE, which really contribute to this Fightful Wrestling Weekly now and a lot of these stories. And they tell me that Andrade Cien Almas impressed officials with his AJ Styles match and that Vince McMahon is putting a lot more trust into him, which led to the television program with Daniel Bryan. And they also said that Vince McMahon will just see someone and say, I want them up here, and not have any semblance of a plan. But other times he'll be told that a talent could be useful and it might be time for them to move up. But if he's not 100% behind them, then they'll just wither away for months, like Almas did, like AOP did. By the way, AOP is their official name in WWE right now. That could change, like Apollo's name went back to Apollo Crews. But usually a guy like Almas, they're like, well, we need somebody for AJ to face. How about Almas? And then he goes in there and impresses. And then Vince puts more trust in them. As I mentioned on the podcast, Jeff Hardy, I've been told that this match with Randy Orton and Hell in a Cell is a favorite to Hardy, as he's always wanted to be in the match. 205 Live, more and more each week. We've seen members of this Cruiserweight show integrated back into Raw. Started with Gulak helping out during the beatdowns of The Shield and continue with the 205 Live GM Drake Maverick serving as a manager for AOP. This week, we were witnesses to Lio Rush being paired with Bobby Lashley. I talked to several wrestlers and employees backstage about this. They said that there has been a push to implement more managers on the program to help these floundering acts like Bobby Lashley, like AOP. It's not a coincidence at all that these three that appeared on Raw are great talkers, even though Gulak isn't managing anybody. But this is a bit of a way to ease those in charge of those decisions back into using managers, because right now they're getting very little return on the investment they made in the Cruiserweight division. They appear on some live events. Sometimes they'll send them to NXT to work live events. And sometimes, I mean, they're on 205 Live. That's it. They don't have their own shows. So we really are seeing them try to get their money's worth out of these guys. And I think it's a good move. And if you have these people, then I mean, I think it makes sense to use them, man, especially the ones with all this great charisma. Sorry, I got a little stumped because I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking about all the times at 205 Live they've tried to invest in it. Neville, Enzo, Austin Aries, and those guys either walked away or wanted out or did something stupid. Even when they pushed Rich Swann, he was involved in a messy situation. But yeah, guys on this 205 Live roster are not generally flown to Raw. So some of them will be now. I was then told that Maryse was instructed to powder out and kill time heading into SmackDown Live show. It was not a time-killing instruction on the fly, like some speculated. WWE Raw announcers were instructed to refer to Authors of Pain simply as AOP. The title of SmackDown Live this week was We, which is the French translation of Daniel Bryan's Yes Chant. Posted a new interview with Colby Covington. Even if you're not an MMA fan, you should check that out. Lots of pro wrestling news there. He told us last month that he planned on going backstage at WWE Raw in Miami and meeting Vince McMahon at the show. He didn't end up meeting Vince McMahon, but still hopes to. But I was also told that he made a positive impression backstage with the wrestlers that he spoke to. He has friends in high places, and Bobby Lashley trained with him before and is a good friend of him. He's hoping for a WWE run in the future, which I will elaborate more on. I've also spoken to several names in Impact Wrestling that say that they want him back as well. Of course they do. He's a UFC champion. But he had a lot to say. He talked about CM Punk and Ronda Rousey, and I've spoken to a lot of wrestlers about him. Did 2,500 words on Penis Druids last week, right after the Weekender dropped. I like to do at least one long-form article per year. Last year, it was NWA, From Old to Gold, How Tim Storm Made Me Care. And earlier in the year, I had done one on the Kentucky Athletic Commission and how the weird rules led to WWE not running TV in my state for years. Before that, I did one on Shane Crutchton, who is an MMA fighter that most of you haven't heard about, but he's a veteran who suffered with PTSD. And a lot of my MMA ones don't get a lot of love. MMA media is very much a good old boys club. I did one on Gerald Harris, right as he returned to MMA after several years of retirement and a weird UFC firing. I did two kind of on Muhammad Hassan. I did Finding Muhammad Hassan, which is my first and probably best known. Then I did one called Catching Up with Muhammad Hassan that was kind of just like an introductory piece for Fightful. I also did one on the Brawl for All. So I did a lot of those, and Penis Druids was my latest one. I spoke to Alberto Lara, who played a penis druid, and he had tweeted hate mail that he received, and it motivated me to reach out for an interview. I was like, nobody else has interviewed a penis druid. Let me do it. It's funny. I like to do funny stuff. And very rarely do I contact talent via text or DM to get comments. Usually I'm like, hey, can we talk? Can we call? But I got some from – I got responses from Jeff Jarrett. I got one from Joel Gertner, from Joey Ryan, and Shane Helms, and then, of course, Lara, and then MJF, who just said, duh. Conrad Thompson wouldn't talk to me about it. He's like, I'm not touching that one. And Dave Lagana was like, I'd rather not. Jeff Jarrett said that he would let me wordsmith the response, but I ran the quote unedited. Gertner was another name that I thought, I got to talk to him about this, right? And finally, I was able to get Joey Ryan to comment on the story. I've never interviewed him or talked to him before. So it was a very cold, like, hey, can I get your comment on this dick story, which I'm sure isn't anything that outstanding to him. But he was caught up with a big MLW show and thankfully hit me with a comment the next day. I reached out to a couple more names, but everybody got back to me on it at the very least. Everybody responded, and that doesn't always happen. Guys, thank you all so much. Tell me what more you want to see out of the Weekender, but most importantly, guys, if you like the Weekender, tell people on Twitter. That way I can retweet it. Maybe more people can see it. It's been a stagnant month, so I would love any word of mouth that you all can help provide for us, because that is especially important in helping us grow. But thank you guys so much. Don't forget, we have that Retro Raw review up. That is our retro podcast this month. Make sure you check it out. Myself and Alex Andreessen had a good time reviewing a real bad Raw. Till next time, we're out.